This is Live and Local. I'm Kevin Kelly. And on the show today, in the first portion of the program, Milton Scott, who is the longtime director of Opus 24, which is a choral ensemble sponsored by the Decatur Choral Society. They're giving their concert at their fall concert at St. Patrick's Catholic Church in Decatur next Tuesday evening at 7:30. We'll hear some samples of their singing and some of what's on that program. Then in the later portion of the show, a couple of members of the Red Mask Players, which is one of the oldest community theater groups in the state of Illinois, from Danville. They are performing a theatrical rendition of Henry Fielding's novel, Tom Jones. And that is actually has been in production, and it's wrapping up its performances this weekend. So I think we're even going to have a scene from that adaptation on the program as well. So it's Live and Local today. Hope you'll stick around here on FM 90.9. It was George Gershwin from a piano roll playing his own music called From Now On, heard on WYLL, FM and HD Urbana. I'm Kevin Kelly. The program is Live and Local. And my guest for this portion of it is Milt Scott, who is director of Opus 24, which is what is the relationship between Opus 24 and the Decatur Choral Society?
Well, the Decatur Choral Society is a sort of an parent group, an umbrella organization, so that we have, we hope to have a youth choir or two underneath that umbrella. And then Opus 24 actually was founded first, and then we decided to have more of an organizational situation as we went on, what we would need. And so the Decatur Choral Society is basically that. It's the organizational part of Opus 24.
So if you have a board, that's a board of the Decatur Choral Society.
Correct. That is right.
They're the folks who raise the money and all that stuff.
Raise the money, pay the bills, give me artistic freedom.
Well, that's the best board.
That's a great board.
That, in fact, does that. And the society, well, no, Opus 24 has been around for how long now?
Well, actually, we started in the fall of 1991. And gave our first concert in February of 1992 with 17 singers.
And the society has been around for most of that time?
I would say certainly two-thirds of that time, yes.
And have they so far brought in any other programs under that umbrella? Or?
Well, we've helped sponsor. We did have a youth choir, a Decatur youth choir. I believe it was called long ago the Prairie Voices. That has been dismantled, actually, quite a while ago. But we're hoping to eventually have a youth choir or two come under our umbrella. There is a very fine youth choir program at Millikan, and which we help support a little bit. But they're still their own entity. So,
and otherwise, you have no relationship with Millikan University.
Well, no relationship directly. We have Millikan faculty, which sing in our group, and some facilities usage. And we sing every other year. We sing with the Millikan Decatur Symphony.
Oh, really?
Yes.
With any of their choirs, or just as
actually
your,
just
yourself?
Us and the symphony.
And what sort of things have you done with Millikan?
Well, we've done the Schubert Mass in G, the Fauré Requiem. We did. Randall Thompson, pieces of Carl Sandburg and
Frostiana.
Frostiana, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sort of going through my own mind.
Yeah, I had to Randall go through Thompson my Rolodex there for a moment. We also were asked to help when Millikan did Alexander Nevsky. We were asked if we would have some mature male voices to help out with that. So we all sang in that. We did Song of Democracy of Howard Hanson. So we've done some nice nice pieces with the symphony. Yeah, we also did The King Shall Rejoice, the Handel Coronation Anthem.
See, I know that one.
It's for a small orchestra. There are actually four anthems, coronation anthems.
How many are in the ensemble?
Well, there are 44 on the books, but we are singing with 39 this concert because five are either on a maternity leave, graduate school kind of situation.
Well, that's not bad to be down only five.
I feel very fortunate.
When you sing with the symphony, do you augment it all or?
Not really, no. Actually, we make more adjustments in the symphony that we choose music. Dr. Luxner and I sit down and we figure out what is going to work the best for the size of our group. And that's, we have very good dialogue with that.
And that's Michael Luxner, who is the music director of the Millikan Decatur Symphony.
Right,
teaches at Millikan, and he's been on this show every once in a while to talk about their upcoming concerts. So when is the next time you'll be, would that be next year then in rotation with the symphony?
Actually, it will be, I believe it will be a year from this spring, because we sang last spring. So we only do it, and it's usually in the spring. We have done it in the fall a couple of times, but it won't be scheduled for another year.
And generally a couple of your own concerts a year?
Right. We usually have a concert right around the Thanksgiving time, the Tuesday after Thanksgiving. This time it's the Tuesday before, just because of the calendar on the 24th. And then we do one in May, usually the week after Mother's Day or so.
You were going to add something to that?
No.
We both breathed at the same time.
That's right.
Well, you brought along a number of samples of Opus 24. Why don't you introduce the first one you chose here?
Well, the first one is called Come to the Music. This is from our spring concert of 2008. And it's a very lively piece by Joseph Martin for percussion, piano, and piccolo.
And I think this is track 3 on this disc. I forgot to check it before I put it in.
There's a label.
I better do that really quickly.
Maybe we should check that very quickly.
I am checking. Actually, I left the label on. Maybe that's not a good idea.
That's probably not.
When you're spinning it in the disc. Yeah. And who did you say this is written by?
This is by Joseph Martin.
Okay. And this is Milton Scott directing Opus 24 from Decatur. And they're giving their fall concert next Tuesday. You're hearing them on Live and Local on FM 90.9.
Thank you.
To the music, a performance by Opus 24 of Decatur, conducted by Milton Scott, who's my guest on Live and Local. And remind me once again the composer there.
That was Joseph Martin.
Joseph Martin. And that was from your spring concert of 2008 at St. Patrick Catholic Church in Decatur, which is where your concert's going to be next Tuesday as well.
Right. And it coincides with the church's 100th anniversary of existence, that particular building. So it's going to be a nice celebration.
I hope you piggybacked on them for good marketing for that.
Well, there you go. Yes. We usually have a very good crowd in that church.
Any idea how many that holds?
It holds about 600 without setting up any extra chairs.
And do you usually need to set up extra chairs?
Not usually. We could open up the balcony if we had to, but the balcony is more for singers rather than audience. So.
But you get a 500-600?
Yes, we do.
That's great.
We do.
That's great. What do you find to be, well, before I ask the second question, and hopefully I'll remember it, tell me the makeup of the chorus. Where do these folks come from?
Well, the makeup of the chorus, it was traditionally just from Decatur, but we have expanded in our years. We have singers from Champaign, Urbana, Bloomington, Taylorville, Shelbyville, and some surrounding areas, other close surrounding areas of Decatur. And that's what makes it very rewarding because those people are very dedicated upon getting here. Some of them are my former students. I don't know if they do it out of guilt or curiosity or they just really love to sing, but we do have them travel.
Well, I'm sure that many former students of many professors or teachers of other kinds were perfectly happy not to go back and work with their former teachers. So that's got to be a compliment to you at some level.
Well, it is fun to have them as adults, that's for sure.
Because they could easily just not do it, especially if they have to come any distance. So what do you find to be the greatest challenge working with this conglomerate of people?
Well, because we have a number of degreed musicians and some very, very critical, and I shouldn't say critical, but they're critical of themselves. It's a group that wants to do well all of the time. Their standards are very high. So I need to keep looking for literature that challenges them, also that's singable. I mean, that we rehearse for 3 months, and at the end of 3 months, we hope we have a good product. So keeping the music challenging, making sure that we are in good attendance, the typical problem with the community chorus is attendance because everybody has a life. They're not in a classroom for 4 or 5 days a week. So making sure that they feel that they, when they come, that it's worthwhile.
And you don't have any requirements to hold over them, like a grade or anything.
That is correct, right. And I don't have a, quote, attendance policy, unquote. It just, they are there, and most of them are there all the time, and some aren't. That's just the way it is.
You rehearse what, once a week?
We rehearse once a week for 2 hours on a Tuesday night.
Oh, so for 3 months you get to put together what appears, just looking at the three discs that you brought along, to be always some really quite varied programs. I'm looking at the one from the concert where we just played a sample. You've got some music by Handel and the Joseph Martin piece we just played. Frank Tekeli, who actually has been mentioned on this program a couple mm-hmm. of times for his wonderful band music.
That's a wonderful piece on that CD, Earth Song. That's
I'll have to check out some
beautiful
of his choral music. Bob Chilcott, written a lot of choral music. Jean-Joseph Moret, I assume that's an instrumental.
Right, that is. We had a guest group for that concert.
And they played some music by Piazzolla as well. Do you typically have an instrumental group join you?
I usually have some guest musicians, and on this particular concert, we have a group called Second Wind, and it is a flute ensemble of 7 or 8 flutes from the community. And they are going to play not with us, but as a separate group. And that will be nice, a very nice addition. They have some music of Tchaikovsky and I have a list here of Gossek and Gluck. And so they will be a very nice addition to the sounds of what we want in that church.
So sort of an instrumental interlude.
Right. Actually, they're going to be set three and they're playing something before the concert begins, sort of like a prelude.
Who directs the flute choir?
Well, actually, the founder is Mary Little, who is a very fine flautist. And it kind of started as a church ensemble and expanded to some students at Millikan and other community members. So she plays and is the founder, and they actually play unconducted. So that's nice.
Somebody sometimes has to be the spiritual leader.
That's right,
of these things.
Not at the beginning, not at the end.
Yeah. let's see. We have a sample here from your May concert, and you were actually on the program with Jackson and Almeida Berkey.
We were, yes.
In advance of that concert. Mm-hmm. From there, you've selected this wonderful piece by William Billings. I know my choir has a kick out of singing this every once in a while when we do it. What would be your introduction to this piece?
Well, the choir loves to sing this too, and it's for us. It's always how do we want to do it stylistically, you know? And we end up we talk about such good tone and whatever, and some people say, "Well, should we sing this like it was in the Billings era, you know, and tempo and things like this?" So, my goal for this piece is to be sure that we're quite together because it's so rhythmic, and just to get a spirit of enthusiasm with it, and so that's how we do it.
Did you so you referred to this sort of the way they would have sung it, which tends to be sort of raw,
right, just a little bit more. Tonally probably a little bit different and probably not always together. You know, I mean, Billings had a pickup choir on Sunday mornings like Bach did, I think. He wrote a lot of things that, you know, he used the singers he had and he probably didn't have the luxury of the rehearsals we did. So this may be better than Billings ever did it, or it may be worse. I don't know.
Plus, he wandered around the countryside and did he had these singing sessions or I forget what he called them now.
I know what you mean.
But and we'd just get people together and sort of, it was like an impromptu class and also Sunday sing or whatever.
Yep.
So, well, here's Opus 24's take on William Billings' Easter Anthem. This is directed by Milt Scott here on Live and Local on FM 90.9.
Come the
performance of William Billings' Easter Anthem by Opus 24 of Decatur, Illinois, conducted by my guest on today's Live and Local, Milton Scott. They're giving their fall concert next Tuesday at the same location where this concert from last May was recorded, St. Patrick Catholic Church in Decatur. Sounds like quite a resonant space.
It is a beautiful space to sing in, even when there are a lot of people. So
is that your? I assume that's your regular performance space.
Well, we perform lots of different places. Really, we'll be at a different church in the spring, and in the next fall, we'll probably even be in another space that's a longer nave. We try to move around a little bit.
Does that mean it has even a longer resonance?
Well, not necessarily. It's carpeted, so there's a little different effect, but it's a whole different design, but it's very hard surfaces.
When you choose your program, do you choose it with the venue you're going to sing in mind?
Sometimes. For instance, the first two pieces of this concert that we're going to do at St. Patrick, they are the Arkadelt Ave Maria and then the Vittorio O Vos Omnes, which sound wonderful in that church. And so I chose those just because really we're singing there. And it works very well. And we follow it with the John Levitt Gloria from his Mass. And that's very festive with glockenspiel and suspended cymbal. And so I do choose music a lot of times based on where we are going to sing. A section of the music I do.
Well, you were commenting while we were actually listening to the William Billings piece that one maybe has some disadvantages in a resonant space.
Right, because it loses its rhythmic sound that you want to hear. All the dotted notes get sort of lost in the reverb.
Yeah, if you do it too fast, then it gets all sort of mushy.
Very mushy.
Which is not the goal, is rarely the goal. I suppose there's probably some music where maybe it sounds good mushy, but I can't think of anything offhand. Coming up on later on in the program, we have a couple of members of the Red Mask Players of Danville who are wrapping up their performances of Tom Jones this weekend. That's an adaptation of Henry Fielding's novel, and they'll be with us before too long. And my name's Kevin Kelly, and I'm pleased to be with you on the show. Monday, we'll have members of the cast of Parkland College's production of their own adaptation of Dickens' A Christmas Carol, which is a musical rendition of it, and that gets underway shortly. And they'll be with us on Monday singing some of the songs from there, and they are in Champaign. Support for our program today on FM 90.9 comes in part from the Northwest Rehabilitation and Preservation Society with Decatur's 19th Heritage and Holly Home Tour, featuring homes in films and movies on Friday, November 27th from 4 to 8 and Saturday from noon to 6. Tickets are at the Starting Point, St. Peter's AME Church, 510 South Church Street, at local merchants, or at 424-9147. I gather from just the two tunes we've sampled, where one had some instrumental accompaniment and one was without accompaniment, that you try to mix it up on a typical concert?
I do. I think it's good for the audience, and it's just good for the choir, too. If they sang an all a cappella program or all piano, I think it would become a little bit, I shouldn't say boring, but less challenging. So I do mix it up.
Does the choir seem to have any preference for one type or another?
Not really. I mean, they like to sing with an instrumental group. They like to sing with brass or a string quartet or something like that. We did a piece, six English folk songs with the Millikan Woodwind Quintet, and that was fun, too. It just adds another dimension to singing, which a lot of them love.
And do they have ever expressed any clear preference for certain types of music?
Not really. They don't go a lot for pieces that maybe have speech choir sections, things like that. That was very popular, especially during the 60s and early 70s, where you would have a lot of some psalms and things which were canonic in speech and that kind of thing. But they are very open, actually, to many kinds of pieces.
They trust your judgment.
They trust my judgment, and I have to tell them, this will work, just give it a chance. Once we did the Arvo part, solfege, and it's just singing the scale on solfege in different octaves, different voices, very contemporary.
That's do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti,
all
that stuff.
It is. And that was very challenging, and we got over the hump, and they liked it a lot.
Part of it was a challenge of learning to like it.
Right, right. It was a very short melody, one note, you know, for each section stacked in different areas. So we have to do a little psychology with them, but they trust me.
And I'll bet you that music was helpful to have in a resonant space.
Very much so. And we ended up singing that in a mixed formation in quartets, and it tuned almost instantly when we did it.
And you usually sing, I gather, in sections then?
About half of the pieces or three quarters we do in sections. We're going to do, I think, three pieces in mixed in this concert.
Do most of the folks in your choir read music comfortably?
Except for that last word, I'd say most of them read music.
The comfortably part.
The comfortably part. Some do not read as well as others. They all read to some degree. Some are very, very good readers.
And is there an audition to get in your group?
They do audition. My auditions are very easy, and they're non-threatening. And there are some people that I have not taken, but I keep them on a list. I always remember that it is a community choir, but yet it is not one of the y'all come. There are certain parameters that I try to keep.
Well, you want to keep it at a certain level of performance.
Right, exactly, right.
And do you have auditions at a certain time of year that you want to mention?
Actually, I don't have regular auditions. When I know there are going to be vacancies, I will put it in the paper and also in some other, I might put it in a Millikan publication or some other kind of media that I have room. I'm listening for a couple of basses or a tenor or whatever section. And sometimes someone will come up to me and say, so-and-so has just moved to town and sang with such-and-such a group. And I'll say, well, send her in or send him in. I'd like to listen. And one never knows. I'm very blessed with a very balanced choir, but I don't turn down good tenors very often.
So if somebody hearing this interview were to call you up and say, hey, I heard the interview. How do I get in the group?
I would be glad to listen to them and to meet them. I sure would.
And then take it from there.
Yep.
Let's hear one more selection. This is from, I think, your fall concert a year ago.
Right. This is going to be the
Randall Raymond piece.
Randall Raymond. We'll Speak of Peace.
And Randy Raymond is the trumpet professor at Millikan University.
He's a trumpet professor who is a very good writer, and he wrote three pieces which we premiered. So this one is with the piano, oboe, and choir.
So this is the premiere performance, then?
Yes, it is.
Are they a set?
Not really. They're separate. The Appear to Star is for percussion and brass quintet. And then this one is oboe, and the other one is just piano and choir.
Okay, so here's Opus 24, performing He'll Speak of Peace by Randall Raymond, under the direction of Milton Scott, my guest on Live and Local today.
Thank you.
Randall Raymond's piece called He'll Speak of Peace, two different spellings of that word, of course. Opus 24, performed under the direction of Milton Scott. And they are giving their fall concert next Tuesday at 7:30 at a different location from the recording, from where you just heard that recording. They'll be at St. Patrick's Catholic Church in Decatur. Again, that's next Tuesday at 7:30. Milt Scott's my guest this portion of Live and Local. Coming up, a couple of members of the Red Mask Players in Danville to talk about their production of Tom Jones, which wraps up this weekend, in fact, tonight and tomorrow. Milt, if somebody wants to get tickets for the concert, what do they have to do?
Well, they're pretty easy to get. The Decatur Area Arts Council downtown has tickets. Plus, most of the big churches downtown, First Methodist, First Presbyterian, First Lutheran, and St. Patrick's, and also members of the choir. Of course, the public doesn't know who all those members are, but they are $10 for adults and $5 for full-time students. They can also just purchase at the door.
At the door. And is that usually safe to do that?
It is safe. Usually it's probably good to get there a little early if they're going to do that. But
Besides, you get your choice of seat.
Well, yes, you do.
Because at a fairly big space like that, you want to angle for wherever it is you like to sit.
That's very good. That's a good point.
Sight lines good?
Sight lines are all good. I like to encourage people to sit in the front two-thirds of the sanctuary because I feel that's where the best sound is.
Okay.
But it's good all around.
So there, if you're listening to this program, here's another reason to listen to this show. You just got a tip from
Milt
Scott about that not everybody else is going to have.
That's right.
Unless they've been there before. Well, I appreciate your coming over today.
That's my pleasure. I'm glad to be on the show.
And I'm sure we'll have you back. Have a good concert on Tuesday night.
Thank you much.
Opus 24, next Tuesday in Decatur at 7:30, St. Patrick's Catholic Church. Here's a little music by William Boyce on Live and Local. It was a short symphony by English composer William Boyce, whose birth and death date sort of straddle the publication date of the novel by Henry Fielding called Tom Jones, or the full title, The History of Tom Jones, a Foundling. And a number of people have taken this novel and turned it into a play, at least three or four that I've encountered. And we're going to have a conversation in just a few minutes about Red Mask Players in Danville who are giving an adaptation of that play. They've actually been doing it for 2 weeks now, and you have two more opportunities tonight and tomorrow night to see that production in Danville. We've got two of their members with us. But first, on Live and Local, time for our events calendar. So I'm just going to sort of cherry-pick some of the many events going on in our listening area. One of them is a production by Decatur Theater 7 called of The Pajama Game. That's at the Decatur Civic Center Theater tonight and tomorrow at 7:30. And is there a Sunday matinee? Yes, there is, at 2 o'clock. The Illinois Symphony Orchestra is performing twice this weekend at Bloomington Center for the Performing Arts tonight at 8 o'clock, and then tomorrow night at 8 in Springfield at Sangamon Auditorium at the U of I Springfield. In downtown Champaign, it's the Granny's Porch Concert called Spare Some Change. It looks at the 1930s through America's music. That's at the Virginia Theater, downtown Champaign, tonight at 7:30. The Arcadia Chamber Players are giving their fall concert tonight at 7 o'clock in Urbana at First Mennonite Church. And Station Theater in Urbana is wrapping up its performances of the musical Zombie Prom this weekend. Tonight and tomorrow at 8 o'clock are those last performances. In Bloomington, the Illinois Wesleyan University Symphonic Winds are giving a concert tonight at 7:30 in Westbrook Auditorium of Presser Hall. Fairy Lights Theater Company is presenting Give My Regrets to Broadway. That's an adaptation by two 13-year-old girls who were actually on this show yesterday of Chet Gecko mystery. That's going to be at the Champaign County Extension Office Auditorium tonight and tomorrow at 7 o'clock, and there's a Sunday matinee at 1 o'clock. And Saturday night in Urbana, it's a ballroom boogie, music and dance from America's 1930s. That's at the Alice Campbell Alumni Center in Urbana on the University of Illinois campus from 7 to 11 Saturday night. And finally, Illinois Wesleyan University's Wind Ensemble performs Sunday afternoon in the Center for the Performing Arts in Bloomington. That is at 3 o'clock. I'm sure there are many other performances in our area. Please let us know what you know by writing to willcalendar@illinois.edu. That's W-I-L calendar at illinois.edu. I'm Kevin Kelly. It's Live and Local. With us for this portion of the program, Donna Sant and Marianne Laker of the Red Mask Players in Danville. I understand that this is one of the oldest community theater groups in this whole state of Illinois.
Yes, we do have that distinction. We're very proud of it.
And you, what is, like, 72 or 3 years by now, something
yes,
like that?
Yes, in a couple of years we'll have our 75th anniversary. So.
Wow, so that's Donna Sant. How long have you been involved with the Players in one way or another?
I started in 82, so it's been a couple decades at least.
And what kind of roles have you taken on, whether on stage or off stage?
Well, I started backstage just doing props and stage managing and basically saying I never want to do on stage. Never say never, because I have ended up on stage as well. And I've produced and directed and acted, and I've directed some children's theater, been on the board of directors, just about everything you can do down there.
That sounds like it. And Marianne, how about you? How long have you been involved with the theater?
I personally have been involved since, I think, 1993. I kind of married into this. My husband's been involved with community theater and Red Mask off and on for, well, since he was in high school. That's been quite a few, in the 70s.
Wow. That's serious dedication.
Yes, that is. He's on and off. My story's very similar to Donna's, though. I started out backstage and said I'd never be on stage. And, of course, now I have been.
And, and in fact, you are in this production.
Yes, in fact, I am.
Donna, however, you're stage managing.
Yes,
this
I am.
Thing.
What mm-hmm.
What does that mean to stage manage a production from the Red Mask Players?
Basically, you're the right-hand person of the director. You take down all the notes in pencil, because the directors have
the tendency,
thank you, to change their mind at any given notice. You write down the blocking and the lines and pretty much tell the actors what they need to do. One of the things is to make the coffee, which I do very poorly, so Marianne does that for me. So I basically just kind of keep the theater running during the performances and the rehearsals.
And how has this production been going? You've had 2 weekends of it so
far.
We have.
We're very, very happy. We started out having a very strong opening night. And in spite of the fact that Danville is in the middle of their Festival of Trees this past weekend, we did see some very promising box office. So, and everybody's telling everybody how funny it is, and word of mouth is, you know, one of our best ways of getting the word out. So
I remember reading Tom Jones, I think it was probably in relationship to some college class, and thinking it was really quite fine. I think it's supposed to be one of the first actual novels that anybody ever wrote.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. 1749, according to Wikipedia. And as I said at the introduction, a number of people have adapted this for the stage. And your adaptation is by whom?
David Rogers.
And I guess that's really made the rounds of all kinds of theater companies. It's a full-length evening, I assume?
Oh, absolutely. Uh-huh. It runs about 2 hours, 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm. With the intermission?
Yes. Longer, of course, with all the laughter, but it's about, you're out of there in about 2.5 hours.
So for those who don't know anything about Tom Jones besides the Welsh singer, who I understand is still singing.
He will not be making an appearance.
Tell us briefly the story of the play. Looking at each other. Who's going to do it?
Tom Jones is, as you said before, a foundling, which in modern terms means born out of wedlock. our ingenue Sophie meets him and falls head over heels in love with him, but her family strongly disapproves of their match, and they want her to marry the wealthy Blifil, who is the nephew of the wealthy Squire Allworthy. The question of who Tom's parents are runs through the whole show, whether Sophie will end up with Tom or if her family will win and she will end up with Blifil. So it is quite funny. There are some very physical scenes in the show, very tongue-in-cheek. Our director has put his own personal modern touch in some scenes. So you don't really know how it's going to end up until, well, obviously the very end.
If I remember at all, one of the sources of humor is that Tom Jones tends to have a problem getting much of anything right. Does that
He
sound...
does go through quite a few challenges. He has a line where I've met with more problems in this day than my whole life. One of the things also is that he has a tendency to have all the ladies be very strongly attracted to him. So in spite of trying to get Sophie's hand, he's running away from all the rest of the women. So,
So he's quite a looker, apparently.
Yes, he is.
Yeah. You brought along one or two scenes to do?
Mm-hmm.
Two.
Mm-hmm.
And are you going to be playing multiple characters each?
I am.
All right. So why don't you set up this this first scene for us?
Well, the first scene is, as I said before, Sophie has fallen in love with Tom. And basically, this is a conversation between Sophie and her aunt discussing the match. Of course, her aunt and her father want her to marry Blifil, and she is desperately in love with Tom. So I will be reading the aunt's part, and Marianne will be reading Sophie.
Okay, these are members of the Red Mask Players in Danville, adaptation of Tom Jones here on Live and Local.
And so, Sophia, though you have tried to hide your feelings, your clever aunt has seen through you. In a word, niece, I know you are in love.
Oh, madam!
Blush not, my gentle Sophia. Your father and I entirely approve your choice. Your father is with Squire Allworthy proposing the match.
Now?
You know the impetuosity of my brother's temper. As soon as I acquainted him with your passion, which I discovered the moment that you fainted, he went to Allworthy. He should be back with your lover within 5 minutes. You are to put on all your best airs.
5 minutes, dear aunt, you frighten me out of my senses.
You'll come to yourself again, for he is a charming young man.
Nay, I admit, I know none with such perfections. So brave.
And yet so gentle.
So witty.
Yet so inoffensive.
So humane, so civil, so handsome.
Yes, yes, true, true.
What does it signify that he is base-born?
Base-born? Base-born? What do you mean calling Mr. Blifil base-born?
Mr. Blifil?
Yes, Blifil. Of whom else have we been talking?
Of Mr. Jones, I thought.
Mr. Jones? Is it possible that you can think of disgracing your family by allying yourself with a foundling? I wonder you have the courage to admit it to my face.
Madam, you tricked this admission from me. I had intended to carry my thoughts of Mr. Jones with me to a maiden's grave.
I would rather follow you to the grave alone than to the altar with Mr. Jones. Oh, heavens, your father will probably set the dogs on you, unless he's really angry, and then he might do worse.
I beseech you not to tell him.
I will keep your secret on one condition, that you see Mr. Blifil, that you are civil to Blifil, and that you regard him as the person who is to be your husband. Otherwise, let my brother do his worst.
I am forced to agree. But will you not speak to my father and try to change his mind? To be Mrs. Blifil is to be the unhappiest woman alive.
No, Sophia, on the contrary, I will do all I can to put your honor out of the care of your family. Remember, marriage has saved many a woman from ruin.
That last line alone, I'm sure, gets probably multi-layered laughter, you know, for
any
number of reasons.
Oh, absolutely, and there's a handful of those throughout the play.
Well, that sort of sets out that situation, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And did you bring a second scene?
Yes, we did, I guess. First of all, I wanted to mention this earlier. Our apologies to the actual actors that portray these characters.
Yes,
if we're not
yes.
portraying them.
We couldn't get everybody here. On that's the thing about doing a show at noontime. It is in the middle of people's work day.
Yes.
Well, we're very glad you could come over. That was Donna Sant in the role of, what was the character again?
Ms. Western.
Ms. Western, and Marianne Laker in the role of Sophie, who is the squire's only daughter.
That's correct.
Desperately in love with Tom Jones, unfortunately for her. What's the next scene?
The second scene, we come in and Sophia's father has found out that she has refused to marry his choice of a suitable husband, which in his eyes is the aforementioned Blifil. He has locked her away until she comes to her senses. Here we have Sophia and her servant Honor discussing her fate.
And who, I assume you're going to continue to be Sophia?
Yes.
And then multiply talented here, Donna Sant in the role of Honor.
My lady's supper, a scrap of yesterday's roast.
Oh, Honor, Honor, I am undone. What will happen to me?
In the end, my lady, I suppose you'll marry Mr. Blifil.
What's that?
Your supper, my lady.
Ick!
And if not Blifil, there's not a man in this county or the next who would not be glad to take his place. Why not marry young Squire Edgerton in the next village?
Oh, Honor, will you not understand? It is not a question of who but Mr. Blifil to marry. It is a question of how to marry Mr. Jones. Honor, is this the key to my dungeon?
Yes, madam. I'm to return it to your father when you finish your bread and water.
I am come to a resolution. I shall follow Mr. Jones to London.
London? Madam, how do you know he went there?
Where else is there?
Brighton? Bristol? Canterbury?
Be quiet. You sound like a crier for a stagecoach line.
Has your ladyship thought to marry Mr. Fordyce, who hunted with your father in the spring?
I'll go to Lady Bellaston's in London. She is a relation of mine who has often begged me to come and stay with her. Once there, it will be easy to find Mr. Jones.
He's a handsome man, Mr. Fordyce.
Be quiet. I am resolved we are going.
We? Oh, madam, Mr. Western would have me hanged for stealing off with his own daughter.
Honor, I have some money and some few jewels. I will reward you to the very utmost of my power.
The utmost?
The utmost.
Oh, madam, how can I refuse the sweetest, dearest, and most generous mistress in the world? I know where we can hire a carriage in the next village.
They'll all be at supper. We can sneak quietly out of the house.
What say you to my Lord Hampton?
Nonsense.
Oh, heaven protect us in this venture.
And thus, another scene from Tom Jones, adaptation by David Rogers of Henry Fielding's novel from the mid-1700s. And we had Donna Sant in the role of, well, first, Marianne Laker in the role of Sophia Western, and Donna Sant as her maid Honor. And you can see the complete production. Just two chances left, tonight and tomorrow night at 8 o'clock, is it?
Yes, sir.
And where do you do these performances?
We have our own theater. It's the Catherine Randolph Theater on Vermilion Street in Danville. We're very, very lucky to have our own building. So we rehearse there, we build the sets there, we store our props and costumes there, and we've owned the building since the 60s.
Yeah,
so
that is a wonderful opportunity.
Yes, it's an old church, and it's really quite charming.
One of the advantages to having such a long history that the Red Mask Players have.
Absolutely.
I would think. We have about half a minute. What have you found to be, I guess I'll put this to Marianne, to be particularly challenging about doing this production?
Challenging? Well, there are so many people in the cast. Actually, that's a good thing, though. It's a lot of fun. I don't know. It's just been fun. I don't find it challenging. I've just found it a lot of fun, a lot of energy.
And you're very comfortable on stage.
Well, after
or is that always
after
the big
15
challenge?
Years, yes, finally.
Okay, good. And is this right? 13 men and 11 women in this.
That sounds
production?
About right. Yeah. There's a couple dozen.
Yeah, that's a lot of men to get on stage. Which can
it
be
is,
a
and
challenge
we traditionally have had a hard time, quite truthfully, getting men to audition. But I was helping cast the show, and they just kept coming in the front door. We were just thrilled beyond belief that we had the men that's interested in a show, especially when they have to wear tights.
Who knows? Maybe that's why they came.
That could be the reason.
That could be the attraction.
Red Mask Players in Danville doing Tom Jones. Two performances yet tonight and tomorrow. And how does one get tickets? Just show up at the theater?
They can, or they can call 442-5858 and reserve tickets before the show. But there should be tickets available at the door.
Donna Sant and Marianne Laker, thank you very much for joining us on Live and Local.
You're welcome.
And on Monday's show, we'll have members of the Parkland College Theater in Champaign who are doing their own adaptation of Dickens' A Christmas Carol. It's going to be a partly to mostly sunny afternoon with a high temperature near 55. Tonight, partly cloudy with some patchy fog forming, the low 36. Tomorrow, some patchy fog early, otherwise mostly sunny, the high 55 again. And Sunday, partly sunny with a high of 54. We're at 51 now. This is WYLL FM and HD Urbana. Operating translators W293 AF Danville and W266 AF Urbana. We are the listener-supported broadcasting service of the College of Media at Illinois.